I'd like to start with a scripture. Job 32 and 8 says, "There is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth him understanding." I'd like to think this morning about a well of inspiration. Inspiration means to breathe into. When God created Adam, it said that He breathed into him the breath of life. That was inspiring. It was in breathing, breathed into him, and he became a living soul. It takes the inspiration, I believe, it takes the inspiration of God. When we come to service, our service meetings, when we come to our revival meetings, camp meetings, we want our ministers to be inspired. And when they're not, it's not a good thing. We want inspiration of God to be in our services. We want our singing to be inspired. You know, there's a difference between just singing. You can hit every note right, and it can be perfectly done. Professionals can do music, but it's not life-giving just because it's done right. But when it's inspired, I have heard many, many songs done less than perfectly. I've heard them done less than professionally, a lot less than professionally. I've heard a few notes missed in them, and them be extremely blessed and inspirational to our souls. God has a well of inspiration that we need to draw from. And as the other thoughts, we need to realize that the world has many things that they try to inspire with. They have inspirational speakers that come in and try to inspire people to better lives, better ways. They have motivational speakers that come in the companies sometime to motivate the employees to harder work and more desire and to be able to enjoy it more and to just the truth of it is we don't want to live for God in some kind of humdrum way, some kind of just mediocrity in our service to God. So if we wanted to, we could try to get the best speakers among us, and we could try to get together and we could pep it up if we wanted. We could get us a band. We could do all kinds of things to put some life into it. That's not the answer. It's not the answer at all. The world does that on a regular basis. But there is a well of inspiration. And we need God's inspiration on what we do in life. We need it on our services. We need it in our prayers. I remember one time several years ago, my oldest son, Marty, he was always a little boy that if he got sick or had a need, he would want prayer. And I always appreciated that about him. And he was just a little feller, and he was sick, and he said, "Daddy, would you pray for me?" And so I prayed for him. That's what we do when somebody asks us to pray. We pray. So I prayed because he asked and because I cared, and I prayed and I asked the Lord to bless him. And a little bit later he said, "Daddy, would you pray for me again?" So I prayed for him again. And I got up. And I remember as I walked into the kitchen, the Lord said to me, "Go pray for him again." Now, when my little boy asked for prayer, it was duty, it was love, it was what I wanted the Lord to do for him. But when the Lord spoke to me, it inspired my heart. When the Lord said, go pray for him again, I knew the Lord had done something. And I heard it plainly. Go pray for him again. And when I turned around, this inspiration of God filled me. I was inspired. I prayed different the third time than I did the other two times. I prayed with a believing heart more. I mean, I believe in God and I believed in the prayer. But when I went with the inspiration of God in me, I prayed with faith. With confidence, I knew God had said something and He was going to do something. And do you know, I prayed when I said amen, it was done. It was done. Inspiration had filled my heart. And it was done. And it was almost, it began to, it was almost like you seen something starting to happen. And he started, I kind of jested him a little bit, and he started laughing, and the fever broke, and the thing was done. We come to our worship services, and every one of us that cares and desires God has a responsibility of their own inspiration to seek for inspiration, to desire. I appreciate the special singing and the songs that are called, and they're life-giving in the words. They're valuable to us, but when they're inspired, folks. And do you know, the Lord has a way of inspiring Himself. What it is, it's life. It's life. He breathed into Adam the breath of life. And it inspired him. It brought him up to life. He was clay. He was dirt. But he was inspired. And he come up out of there alive. Do you know the Scripture teaches us that a person, I think it uses a woman, but a person that is in sin is dead while they liveth? Do you know that there's a whole world full of people that are walking around, they look animated, they're doing all these things, but in the spirit. The Scripture says there is a spirit in man. But it's the inspiration of the Almighty that gives him understanding, that brings him to life. Do you know, folks, we need to be lively stones. Not a worked up thing, but alive in the inspiration of God. I've said a long time ago, if I'm not going to do this thing all the way, I'm not going to do it at all. I want to do it all the way. Have you ever battled depression? I have too. And I'll say this, I don't believe that's what the Lord has for His people. That's an imposition of the devil that brings death. He's trying to work death in us, not life. He's not trying to inspire, He's trying to despire, He's trying to take away the inspiration all the time. God is there to for inspiration, and I believe God wants us to have that inspiration with joy. You draw water with joy, with life, with inspiration. Yes, these things work. Yes, they do. Thank God that He inspires us. You know what I look for every time I minister? I believe that I can comment on just about everything in the Bible. Been around long enough to do it. Somebody said something. I've had mind enough to remember a lot of what's been said. I believe I could comment on just about any place you could turn in the Bible. I could comment on. Maybe not intelligently, but I can comment on it. You know what I look for when I'm ministering? When I'm looking and seeking the Lord, I'm waiting. I am waiting for that inspiration to hit in my life. When I'm looking at those things, and all of a sudden this thing inspires, and you know it. I mean, if you've ministered, you know it, don't you? As soon as it happens, life comes out, life, and you know that it's alive. It means, well, it has meaning to it, but it don't have life to it yet. But that's what I'm looking for. That's what I'm drawing for. You go to the well of God's inspiration for the life of it. And it's there for us. And we have the precious privilege in our life. Have you ever been discouraged? It hits me every once in a while too. But I don't believe it is the life that God intends for His people to be discouraged. God wants us to be encouraged and with joy. We can go and get inspiration. Inspiration. Do you know, I believe you can have God's inspiration on you in the decisions of your life. I remember another story that I read. It interested me because, to be honest with you, we've done some of the same kind of things. I love the Lord and I love the cause of God. I would love to see just people everywhere just turn to the Lord. And we've desired before and reaching out and going to tent meetings and working that, and we've done street work after street work, house after house, inviting people to come. Remember a story of some folks that was in Chicago. They got a desire that they was going to put legs to their prayers. And so they started off the whole congregation started off in a campaign of reaching out to people. So they started off and they dissected up the city in certain places around where they could, and they went out. Day after day, they went out knocking on doors and touching people. That is good, folks. I'm not saying anything against that at all. But after quite a long time, they all of a sudden began to, are we doing any good? We sure are putting a lot of miles, wear on our shoes. But are we doing any good? And they looked and said, don't look like we're doing much good here. Maybe there's more to it. So the pastor's wife said one day to the ladies that she was working with, you all go on. I'm going to spend the day before the Lord. Novel idea. So she started praying. Spent all day before the Lord praying. Somewhere up into the day, the Lord gave her a vision of a street, and actually a vision of an apartment-type building with stairs going up to it. She got a vision of that, and she saw plainly in her mind a street name. I don't remember exactly what it was. It seems like it was Lincoln or something to that effect. So she went to her husband and said, where is certain such a street in Chicago? And he said, well, I don't know that there is one. So they got him a map and started looking, and sure enough, there was a street. Well, that name there. And she said, I feel that the Lord has done something. So they went and went to that street, and they're going along, and all of a sudden she says, there it is. There it is. There is the building that I saw in my vision. Well, let's go check it out. So they went up the stairs, got up to the door, and pounded on the door. Nobody answered. They pounded on the door again, and then they heard somebody inside crying for help. Help me. Well, they was able to get the help, and when they went in, there was an older lady had fallen and broken her hip like 3 days before. She couldn't get to the phone, and she had laid there all that time. And her prayer became the prayer, Lord, send somebody to help me. And there was somebody on their knees praying, and the Lord showed them that. Wonder why? I mean, couldn't God have shown somebody that was already out in the street running around? Can He have showed them the same thing? I mean, God's not limited in what He can show, is He? Somehow, though, God was able to inspire her with exactly what this woman needed through prayer. I believe that the Lord can inspire our lives. I believe there's inspirations to things. I've said many times to the Lord in prayer, Lord, lead me by my desire. Give me the inspiration to do it. Help me to know. I have a decision, maybe. Maybe you have a decision. Maybe you just have a decision on moving somewhere. Do you know the Lord can inspire that move? The Lord can put inspiration into it. It don't have to be a wrong move. God knows. God can inspire that. You may have a decision about a new job or a career. God can inspire you in your life, in your life's work. Lead you in that. It's the inspiration of the Almighty that giveth understanding, that we can know. He gives life to it. He is the giver of life. Thank the Lord for it. He came one time and Mary and Martha and was wanting the Lord to come, and Lazarus was sick, and they told the Lord about it, and he just tarried. Just waited. Finally, by the time he got there, poor old Lazarus had been dead for, 4 days or something, already buried. They got out there, and if you had been here, I'm here now. And he said, he'll resurrect. Yeah, I know there's a resurrection day coming. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and life. Do you know the life-giving qualities of the Lord will be there surely for resurrection day? But do you know that He is life-giving now? He has a well of spiritual life. He can inspire in us. We don't have to be dead in our worship to Him. We don't have to be dead in our... And worship to God really is more than His service. Our worship to God carries into everything that we do. Everywhere that we go. He's life-giving. He said there to them, Lazarus, come forth. That's all He had to do. Lazarus, come forth out of there. He was dead. He literally was dead. Lord, help us in our lives. We're still alive in the body anyway. Surely the Lord can put enough life in us to be inspired with His Word, inspired with the songs, inspired with the prayer. Oh, I've been touched many times. I remember years ago, it was such outstanding. I remember to this day, we was in the hospital, Tammy was in the hospital, and some of the saints had came, and they started singing. I'm telling you, the inspiration of the Almighty started resting on that little singing service. And after about 2 or 3 songs, nobody said, let's pray. Nobody said anything about maybe we should talk to nothing. But Brother Stanley Dixon was there. And about after a couple of songs, the inspiration of the Lord was so strong that Brother Stanley just stepped forward. And he just said, Lord, and he started praying. And oh, I'm telling you, if the Spirit of the Lord seemed like it was just thick in the room. And his prayer just flowed to the knees, and you could feel the inspiration and the blessings of God was on that. He gives life. He gives life. You can't make it happen. You can't drum it up, but there's a well to go to. Thank God for there is a life-giving quality in the Lord. We want to look at another scripture. It's familiar scripture to us in Ezekiel 37:1. Says, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones, and caused me to pass them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. I don't know. I'm only surmising that Ezekiel wasn't just exactly sure of the answer to that question. It looked fairly impossible that these old bleached out, dried up bones, all that been out there in that valley, all that time, how could life ever be able to get back into those dry bones? Just looked nearly impossible. But Ezekiel answers, well, oh Lord, thou knowest. To whether it's a capable possibility or not, I don't know. It don't look so good to me, but thou knowest. I'll be honest with you. I don't like a dry service. But every time I've ever been critical about it, a dry service, I found out it was me that was dry. Years ago, minister got up and preached at home. And I suffered through it. Like you'll do Sunday mornings. Things is to be done and all those kind of things. And I'll be honest with you, there was just nothing to it. And he preached, and I kept just
being there. After the little service was over, preaching was done, Brother Jim White stood up and said, "I want to thank the Lord this morning for this wonderful service." And I thought, where was he? And he started saying what was in that message and what the Lord had said, and I thought, Brother Jim, he never said that. I was here the whole time, and he didn't say what you're saying he said. The Lord must have said it to him. You know what I found out in that service? It was me. It was dry. It maybe wasn't the preaching at all. Brother Jim was there with inspiration in his heart, and he got something from it. And he said, and he went to the well, and those things meant to him. He sat there, and I had to say at the end of it, "Lord, help me in this." There maybe was something in that after all, and I didn't get it because I wasn't in the place to get it. Lord, inspire our hearts to receive the Word of God. Inspire us. You want your minister to be inspired. As a minister, I'm going to tell you something. And I've had enough experience. I'm not boasting, but I've had enough experience to know this. When everybody's dry and out there and not ready to receive, the Lord don't bless like He will when everybody's rare, hungry, ready to go. I'm telling you, God will be faithful with His Word, folks. He'll be faithful to give you what your heart's longing for. We had meeting recently up in Wisconsin, a tent meeting. We went up there for a number of years, and it's been blessed every time we went. But this last year, something extraordinary happened in that meeting. There was several people, several families, that was longing for truth. They wanted God. They wanted to know what having the Holy Spirit was about, what sanctification meant. They wanted to see God and know God. And I'm going to tell you, I don't believe it would have mattered what minister would have went. The Lord just turned us loose on. They were so hungry and so ready. And you know, we had all the work up there like we'd never had before. And it wasn't all the work. And I'm putting anybody down. I'm just telling you, we get in a pattern and we come for needs and the Lord meets. But I want to tell you that when these people come, the tears was flowing. Not just give me something to blow my nose. I'm telling you, wiping the altar. I actually literally had to get that and wipe the altar off of the tears that was falling on them. You don't think God would give inspiration of His Word when if somebody's that desperate, that in need, that longing for God? Oh, I'm telling you, the Lord turned it loose. The inspiration was there in their hearts to get something from God. And the Lord blessed. Can these dry bones live, Ezekiel? Thou knowest, Lord, whether they can ever have life in them again or not. Several years ago, the Lord dealt with me and I recognized something. That I didn't have the same burning in my soul that I had once had. It had leaked to that. I didn't notice that it left. It just I got to a place and realized that I didn't enjoy our services like I once did. I was going because I've set myself to do it, but I really didn't have the same kind of desire and purpose and appreciation for us as I once did. And when I realized that I went to service the very first time, and I when it comes time for a prayer request, I put in a prayer request. I want to be renewed in the passion of my heart. I want to be inspired by the living God to be able to serve Him. Can these bones live again? Can they be brought back? These old dried bones, Lord, Thou knowest. So the Lord just proves it. And He says, "And again He said unto me, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sin you upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinew and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say unto the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came in into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. The Lord made an army out of dry bones. He took and breathed back into it. That is the term of inspiration. He inspired them and brought them back up. I don't think the Lord is really interested in this day and time of going and bringing dead people back to this earth to do it. That's not what He's wanting to do. But He's wanting to bring life into our experience so that with joy we serve the Lord. With joy we do these things. There's nothing more precious to me than the inspiration of God upon my life. I just love those times that the Lord inspires me for something. This inspires me, and I know and can go with boldness of inspiration that God has done this thing. Last year I got a phone call from Brother Darrell in Dallas. He says, Brother Marty, are you coming to our meeting? I said, Brother Darrell, no, I'm not coming. Oh, now, Brother Marty, he said, I think you ought to think about that. And we talked a little bit. Oh, I just love the way the Lord is. I talked to him, and me and my wife had talked about it. We had to be just right after the Dallas meet. We had to be in Pennsylvania for a meeting, and all these things was going on. We was busy in that, and I had said, no. His answer was, are you coming? And I said, no, not coming. By the time we got through with a few minute conversation, I was saying, Brother Darrell, I got to retract that quick no I gave you. Something's starting to happen. Something's working here, and I don't... I'll call you back. You know, right there, as he started talking, he wasn't talking about the meeting. He was just talking, and the more he was talking, the inspiration of the Lord came on me for that meeting. I got off of the phone. This is the way the Lord worked, because my wife was dead set against going to Dallas, as I was. And when I got off the phone, I said to her, honey, it looks like we're going to Dallas. And she said, praise the Lord. I knew the inspiration was working. She was cleaning the bathroom, and I walked in and walked to the sink, and the Lord spoke to me what He wanted there. With inspiration, it started coming. The thoughts was filling in. It wasn't just the title. The thoughts was started filling in the gaps of the messages. I started getting right there. Did you know I went to Dallas inspired? Went inspired. Life-giving. There was life in it. And I knew that if it was accepted, that it would make life to those that would hear it. Because God had done it. Can these dry bones live? Thou knowest, Lord. Well, let me show you then, Ezekiel, so that you can answer that different the next time you're asked. Can these dry bones live? Yes, Lord. They can live again. They can be inspired. Do you ever lose your courage? Sure you do. You need inspired. Inspiration of God will give you the courage to go on in the battles that you have. And the inspiration of God will cause you to stand when you don't feel like you can stand. The inspiration of God will cause you to go where God wants you to go and do what God wants you to do and be successful in doing it. I don't want to go anywhere without the inspiration of the Lord. I don't want to take the pulpit ever without the inspiration of God on what I'm saying. That's what I look for. It's what I hope for. It's what I long. It's what I pray for. I believe that the Lord can take the simplest little thought that you've heard 100 times and inspire it. And it'd be so blessed. And you'll say, I've heard that before. As a matter of fact, I heard it just that way. What makes it what it is? God has inspired it. God has anointed it. God is in it, bringing it forth. That's what makes it different. Yes, these bones can live again. Yes, they can stand up and be people. Yes, my old discouraged life can be made lively. I've been through a lot of battles and I've been wore down and I've done this thing and there's some monotony involved in it and it only encourages I used to be. You know, it's the inspiration of God. I mean, folks, be honest about our songbook, okay? And there's a lot of you been here a lot longer than I have, and I know there's 512 songs in there. But we generally just sing so of them and all. But I've been saved since 86. And to be honest with you, we've sung those songs over and over and over and over again. And do you know that they can be just as inspired today as they've ever been? They'll come in with the heart right and the desire of God right, and you sing those songs and they begin to inspire you. Again, over and over. It's just amazing the inspiration that can come out of something like that when God inspires it. You ever had God inspire a song to your heart? Right at the time that you needed some life in you, and God inspired a song that brought that very thing to you. Life was inspired to you. Be in a battle and don't know what you're going to do, and all of a sudden, God inspires a scripture. I've seen that scripture. I've read that scripture. It can be some of the simplest things sometimes. And God inspired that word to your heart. And it brings life and courage and blessing and joy and peace and hope to your life. Was at home one time Sunday afternoon. It had been our the way it was set up there at home. Brother Tony was pastor. He took the Sunday morning services. And he just opened it up one day, years before that Sunday service was open. And I never did plan, really, to have a Sunday evening service so much or anything. But he just opened it up, and it seemed like that every Sunday night I'd have something. And so it just got to the place that he done Sunday morning, I done Sunday night. And I didn't have to. It wasn't really a responsibility. It's just the Lord was blessed, and I was there at the house one day, and it was 3 or 4 o'clock up in the evening. I didn't have nothing. I hadn't been seeking the Lord really for anything, and I just thought, I remember having the thought as I come into the living room, I thought, you know, I ought to at least give the Lord the opportunity to give me something. And I just kind of dove back on the couch. And when I hit the pillow, the Lord spoke a scripture to my heart. And do you know, I did not have to. It came to me in such a way that I did not even have to get my Bible and find what it was or try to get to me. I just laid back there and the Lord gave me the thought and what the purpose of it was. And I just got my Bible. And when it come time for service, that's what I went with. And do you know, I was so free with that message to just preach it from my heart. The Lord inspired me. The Lord inspired me to do that. There has been times that folks have come for healing that I knew they got the healing because the Lord inspired my heart to it. When I came to do and prayed for them, I felt the inspiration of God in the prayer. had it happen a number of times. I'm not saying that I've always been able to feel that, but I have seen that happen. The Lord has a well of life for you and I. There is no reason. He said that He came that He might give us life and more abundant. He would give life to us more abundantly than we've ever had. We don't have to go around as half-dead zombies living for the Lord. We need the inspiration of the Lord on our lives. I'm going to tell you what makes a difference in our outreach efforts. It's the inspiration of God. And I wanted to say this here, that the devil don't take advantage of this. Outcome does not prove rightness. What I mean by that is that we live in a world that is increasingly turning its heart from God. There was times through world history that people got into the place that there was the Great Awakenings. It's historically noted. You can go back and study it. It was times that great masses of people turned to spirituality. They turned to God with a fervor. 2010 is not a great awakening. It is a time that, in general, people's heart... It doesn't mean there's not people out there to be saved. But it means that their heart generally... Dry bones can't live again. It doesn't mean that in our time we can't see the inspiration of God. As a matter of fact, in the last few years, I've seen a slight uptick in people that's coming out of nominal religion that wants more than they've got. And they're looking to truth. They're looking to deeper experiences in life. In my world of evangelism, I've seen that quite a bit. And so there is some stirring with people. And when that happens, God inspires. But Lord, help us to be an inspiring person. To have the inspiration of God in our life. Do you know we've got the privilege, if somebody calls us with a problem, we have the privilege of going to the well of inspiration to get inspiration of God, what the answer to people's problems are. We have the privilege to get life drawn out of the well to be able to know how to deal with this world that we live in. How that God would bring people to that and what to do with them. We have as altar workers, anyone ever went to the altar a little timid and wondering what can I say and get there and the inspiration of God fall on you? You don't know their problem. You don't know anything about them, but go to work at the altar. I've had it happen, and I thank God. Where did that come from? God inspire the work to be able to accomplish it. Oh, I'm going to tell you, the Lord is all about inspiration. He's life. He's life. Can these old bones dry? Bones, can they be brought back together? Yes, they can. I don't believe that God wants His church in any age being old, dried up bunch of people with no motion, with no life, with no inspiration of God. And again, it's not a big bang and it's not emotionalism. It's the inspiration of God. You can sit in stillness and quietness and feel the inspiration of God on it. It's God's anointing. It's His blessing. It's His life-giving that grows up through it. There's nothing wrong with emotions either, folks. And there's nothing wrong with the movements. And there's nothing wrong when it touches you to be able to say, praise the Lord for it. But it comes from the inspiration of God on your life. And you don't have to explain it. You don't have to try to make excuses for it. You don't have to do anything. It's never out of order and it's never out of place. When it's there, it blesses all that's in tune with it. Because it's inspiring. It's inspiring. You know, Sister Catherine Williams used to just stand up and inspire me. She didn't say anything. I remember standing up sometimes and going, you could tell she had something glowing about her. Anybody, I mean, I know you remember her in there. The inspiration of God was in there. You know, some people can just say a few words. Sometimes it's just, amen, glory to God, and inspiration will come off of it. And it gives hope and life, and I appreciate it so much when I see it. These bones don't need to be dry. I want to finish today with a scripture in John. Fourth chapter of John. I'll read a little bit of this. First verse, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, give me drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which is a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me drink, thou wouldest have asked him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Understand, before I continue the reading, the understanding of living water wasn't something magical. What the understanding in those days of living water meant, a real fresh water. That's what he meant by living water. Living water was coveted. It was desirous. You can take, and because it was a very arid land, water was of most importance. And to be able to survive, people packed water, carried water, stored water, put it in containers, and done all this with water because of the great importance of water. But water being what water is in a hot land, to get old hot, 110 degrees, 15 in the sun, has to get hot and all that, you had to drink it anyway. But the idea of living water was something that was cold in the ground and fresh and clear, and oh, it was coveted on a hot day to drink. And he said this is something that is satisfying. Living water is something that is satisfying. It's what they longed to drink. Satisfying, something that was enjoyable. You'll find over Jeremiah 2, I think it is, where he talked about there being a very strange situation. The Lord looked down and called the angels to witness this and said, look at this. Look what my people do. They refuse the fountain of living water and turn to themselves and dig their own cisterns. And they pack their own water. They put out much effort to dig through rock and something that would hold water. And then they have to carry the water and put in it. And then after it's there a while, it gets stale and hardly able to drink it. And then what the cistern has holes in it, and all their efforts leak out. And what's left is not hardly fit to drink. And they do all this and they despise the fountain of living water that's artesian, that never stops flowing. It's always there for you to get some of. And look at this. Isn't this an odd behavior? That is a very odd behavior, would it not be? To have a fountain here that's flowing the clearest, crystal clean, cold, drinkable, satisfying water, and for you to go and dig a hole in the ground and put water in it. That would be a strange thing to do. That's what he's talking about when he said to her, I would give you living water. The woman said, you have nothing to draw with. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto him, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. And I want to tell you, I believe today that these words, what they meant to me was is that this is close. It is available. It is absolutely available. You realize the value of having it always with you. I used to work as a surveyor in the coal mines. Be underground a couple miles, 2.5 miles underground. Many, many times I've thought of this passage and other passages like it. And thank God that he's 2.5 miles underground too. It is a well that's ever accessible. It's always there. Wherever you are, he said, I'll give you this wherever you are. It doesn't really mean that you don't drink of it. We drink of it. We want to drink of it daily. We want to drink of the inspiration and life of God. I want to drink of these things every day. But what it means is, it's always right there. You don't have to have another man. Some religions believe that you have to have another man forgive you of your sins. Well, please go to God. Go to God. He's made it available. All these things are available to you. The power of His grace, His strength, the hope, the wisdom. All of those things are there. But not only to leave them dead to you, to understand something, but He gives life to it. Actually inspires it with life in it. And he said to this woman, if you had known this, you could have asked of me and I'd give you something that would have made you forget about this well for a while. Natural water is important, but there's something more than that. There's water to the soul. There's life to the soul that refreshes and encourages. And you can go away knowing that your sins are forgiven. Knowing that you have hope forever. You can be alive. Alive in your life. Alive in your prayers. Alive in your songs. I'm going to tell you, when you compare the thrills and the excitements of the world to an old dead religion, the world will win every time. But compare it to the life and inspiration of God in your soul, and the world loses hands down every time. I wouldn't trade it for all the world. But when I don't have the inspiration on an old dead dry life, and old dead dry services and things that don't have any reality to them, the world starts shining pretty good. It's what happens to our people. They lose the inspiration. And there's a well for always there. He said it'd be springing up in you. It's so close. The woman said unto him, Sir, Lord help us all be this way. The woman said unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus said unto her, Go call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast 5 husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. Ye know what ye worship. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And that spirit is a part of that life-giving. Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. The woman said unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When He is come, He will tell us all things. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am He. Now, you know, that's a pretty quick conversation, isn't it? It says, And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman, yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the men, Come see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus said unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish this work. Say not ye that there yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereupon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are not entered into their labors. Now think of this, what happened. It says, And many of the Samaritans of the city believed on him, for the saying of the woman which testified, He told me all that I ever did. Now think of the setting of this. Here the Lord talks to this woman. She's come to get water. She had a purpose. She brought her water pot. She come to get water. That was her purpose of coming to get it up to the well to start with. But when she left her water pot. The Bible makes a particular point to say that she left her water pot. Now that means something to me. That means to me that this woman got inspired and forgot the duty, forgot the reason that she even went up there to start with. She may have been thirsty, but she didn't get her a drink. Or maybe she did, but she did. She left her water pot there instead of taking it with her. That makes me to know that something was working in this woman's life, in her heart. Something had worked there. And then the disciples come back and they said, It's time to eat. And the Lord such, turning their mind, this is inspiring. The Lord Himself was inspired. Right here. It was life now. Spiritual life. It wasn't about eating. He wasn't in the mind of eating. Wait a minute. He's wanting to send them off to get food. But he ain't interested. And the disciples, so out of the loop, said, Somebody must have brought him some food. He's already eating. He ain't hungry. They missed it so many times. You know what the disciples needed? They needed some inspiration. That's what they needed. This woman went into Samaria. You ever tried something like that? I don't know. Maybe she knew some people and all that kind of stuff, but it sounded like it caught fire. Because she went and started telling people, I don't know how she did it. In my mind, she went down there in the marketplace and just said, Hey, listen. There's a guy, you've got to know this. Because the Scripture said, they knew it. The Scripture said that when the Messiah came, that He would know all you've ever done. They knew that there would be some qualities to the Savior when He came. And He had them. And this woman went down there and told Him that He must be Him because He's got those qualities. And you know what happened? When Jesus said to them about, He said, lift up your eyes. The commentators have said, when He said that, what He was referring to, here came a great throng of people that the woman had went down there, and here they come, all these people. And He said to them, lift up your eyes and look. And here comes all these people. Now, what would you think would cause people to listen to this woman? I mean, obviously, she had 5 husbands. I don't think she was a credible in the sense of credibility. She wasn't probably the mayor of the place. I would think that she probably was in the more of the outcasting type thing. But something happened when she went down there that made people to come by a great crowd. What was it? Inspiration. It was life in her words. Life in her heart. She said it because she believed it and meant it and she experienced it. And God gave it life. And oh, when we have that kind of purpose and desire in our hearts, oh, I'm going to tell you, God can put life into that. We don't have to be, God don't want His people to be dead in any sense of the word. He come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. I believe that in our homes, we can have the inspiration of God on our homes, in our families. I believe that we can have the inspiration of God in our prayers. As a matter of fact, I think it's a good policy to stay there until the inspiration comes. Been there and done that, and oh, what a blessing it is. Get down and pray and say three or four words and jump back up. And it don't ain't very fulfilling, but when you stay there until the inspiration of the Lord inspires you, oh, it's a blessed place to be. In His presence is the fullness of joy. Lord, help us. This is kind of the end of the little discourse on Isaiah 12 and 3. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. And I know that you could go through, we could probably be here every night for 3 weeks speaking about those wells. There's so many subjects that you could cover. So much that the Lord is made accessible to us. That all we have to do, most of it don't fall out of the sky, folks, but it is there to draw. It's there for a thirsty soul to draw for. It's there for the hungry to get. But it's there. We've got to do something for it. But you pray for me. I want to remember that the Lord has what I need right there in these wells. Amen.